Sugar. You don't want that, but you know what you do want. The Traumedy Podcast. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to episode 7 in this series of Forever. Someday they'll come to an end, but when? I don't know. Maybe I can pass it on to somebody else. I'm Kenneth Allen. Thanks for coming and listening to another episode. This episode today is going to be about nutrition. Sounds boring. I didn't like nutrition at school. Some people did. I'm speaking to you out there. But you know what? I'm also speaking to the people that didn't like nutrition because I'm going to make it fun and interesting. I spoke with a cool person. No, I spoke with a nutritionalist, and then I'm going to also speak about other health issues like diabetes and problems that other things that can be controlled with diet and exercise. And you know what's interesting? I'm finding out that more and more things can just be cured with exercise. Am I becoming one of these health freaks that just jog out your problems? I just go on a long jog when I'm feeling stressed or I've gotten in a fight with somebody. It's like Kevin Bacon in Footloose. I just dance. I dance it away. And that's what I do. I just go into the gym and I pump iron. So that's not really what I do. But I'm realizing the more and more you eat right and you don't abuse your body starts to think more clearly about things and not stress so much. So just so you know, it's a recent thing for me. I really enjoyed stressing out over things, I think. And you don't realize how many problems I think your brain makes up. You know, if you're thinking about, what am I missing here? What's supposed to be going on? Then you start just not enjoying the moment. And, you know, you're looking for, if you're looking for people to put you down, you're looking for people that don't like you, you're going to find them. Conversely, though, you look for somebody who's having a good time, somebody who's got a positive outlook, you will find them too. And you can be a part of that. I think a lot more of being happy is getting your mind around it. Now, I know I'm oversimplifying it because there are medical and chemical imbalances that cause it, but give it a shot. Just get out and dance. Go find a warehouse, an abandoned warehouse, turn your car stereo up high, and just need a hero. You know what I mean? Just let's hear it for the boy. And flash dance legs, jazz hands, whatever you need to do. You know, get a kettlebell and just crush some curls. Just blast your pecs into a positivity. I want to tell you thanks for listening up. This is a good diversion for me. And I hope it's a good diversion for you. I hope that when you're sitting around at the house and the kids have gone off to school and you have nothing to do and you're thinking about being that doctor that you always wanted to be, what happened to it? Listen, it's not that far away. Start reading the book. You can read the same books as everybody else. It just may take a little bit longer for you to get through it because you don't have somebody there telling you what to do. Teaching is important if you want to bounce issues off of people. But the information is all at your fingertips. So go out and follow your bliss. That's Joseph Campbell. And I fully believe that. This is my bliss. I hope I can bring you a little bit of that. And enjoy the medicine. And enjoy the interaction and the caring for people. Wow. Without any further ado, let's get into our first segment. Remember, wait a minute, kids, caregivers, you can always find me on iTunes at traumatypodcast.com, and that's also the website, traumatypodcast.com, and don't forget to throw a trio of W's behind that, and also on Stitcher Radio, so if you tune in and you listen to other iTunes, I'm sorry, any other podcasts, put me on your docket, and you'll get a little bit of love. And you'll get a weekly a reissue, hopefully. And if you have anything out there in the EMS community, you guys have anything you'd like to talk about, and if you have any people that you would like me to talk to, or you're one of those interesting people in emergency medicine, give me a call. What's up? Post it up on the website, www.traumatypodcast.com, and I'll get back to you. I'll get on here, whoever I need to, whoever I want to. It's an excuse to go out on a trip and meet some interesting people. So I'll bring that back to you, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. All right. Now, that being said, let's rock and roll.
This is Wolford Brimley here to talk to you about diabetes. Listen here, you've heard me talk about it time and time again. It's not a death sentence. It's a way of life, and I'll tell you how to handle it. You take diabetes by the scruff of the neck, and you smack them squarely about the face and jaw. Kids out there have been talking about Chuck Norris. Let me tell you something. Chuck Norris has got nothing on Brimley. I don't waste time with roundhouses and chops. I come at diabetes, square up, two jabs, a cross, and a hook. Done. Marcus of Queensberry rules. Everybody's talking about Jason Statham, this and that. Let me tell you something, Transporter. You can transport my ass. You ever been kicked squarely in the testicles by a bull? Because Brimley has. You know what happened from that encounter? The bull lost its hoof. Compartmental syndrome. Don't kick Brimley in the balls. Moral of the story. Rule of thumb. Don't fuck with Brimley. Which, by the way, is where I do my glucometer test on my thumb. I have to do it with a butcher knife. Nothing else is sharp enough, Brimley. I'm a Quaker, which means that I eat Quaker oatmeal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just like I'm going to eat you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know that man on the cover of the Quaker Oats? That's not my grandfather or my father. That's my grandson. And I'm proud to be a sponsor of that. That is a slow carb, and that is good for anyone suffering from diabetes. I got that door barred and shut to diabetes, and if he ever did walk in, you know what I would do. I don't like to say. All right, I will say. Dry gulch him. Diabetes go down, gagging, joking. Two jabs, two more jabs, I'd roll around him saying, come on, what you got, diabetes? What you got? He'd kind of move, and I'd smack him again. So, thank you, but no thank you, diabetes. Stay outside. I'm turning the porch light off. Tomorrow morning, while I'm contemplating my health over a nice hot breakfast of Quaker Oats and a strong black cup of coffee, I will see you outside and you will be barred from entrance. Not today, diabetes. This is Wilford Brimley saying, I was raised by a wild pack of dogs.
This segment is with Monique Barragar, and she's the nutritionalist for San Jose Fire Department. And we had Monique come in to the station during one lunch hour to speak to us about what should be in our diets as firefighters, as caregivers. We so often take care of people that have poor nutrition and have poor lifestyles, and we see the negative effects, yet it's ironic that we don't take what we've learned and apply it to our own diets and our own lifestyles. So Monique came in and spoke to us about different diets, different workout techniques, and just different lifestyles to live to keep us alive. And this first segment is with me speaking with her, and you can hear in the background the other firefighters cooking up Chinese chicken salad. And I apologize for the ambient noise. Speaking specifically about diets and what a lifestyle diet should be versus a fad diet or a crash diet. Thanks again, Monique.
Diets in the firehouse traditionally been pretty bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of fats, a lot of meats, a lot of white carbs, pastas, maybe rice, and rice is considered healthy for most firemen. So what should we be eating? You know, this was the stuff that killed us at the age of 55 and 60.
Right. I think, one, it starts with variety, not going with a restricted diet. Two, it's portion sizes. We tend to do a lot of nervous eating, I think, at the station.
Yeah, and midnight then, snacks.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you keep the meals on the table for, like, seconds, that kind of thing. Maybe making it in the kitchen where you have to make a trip to get seconds. So portion size is really important. And right. then, like you said, staying away from refined carbohydrates. Like okay. some rice, like brown rice, is better than white rice, for example. Getting a lot of variety, not always just eating one thing. I've heard one firefighter say he was on a chicken broccoli diet.
Yeah.
So that's too extreme. You're not going to get variety, and that's something you can't follow for the rest of your life.
Right.
Yeah, chicken and broccoli is good, but mm-hmm. you need variety, mm-hmm. you need balance, and you can have things in moderation.
Okay. You mean sweets?
Correct.
Love it.
Can't completely take one food out and restrict. And then, modification. And then adequacy. You want to have adequate amount of vitamins, minerals, fiber, calories.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why brown over white? Why is it always unrefined? What do you know the whole specifics
well,
of that?
Well, when you have a white rice versus brown rice has the whole grain, so it doesn't strip away all the good stuff, the bran and the germ. The endosperm, it just has the endosperm that makes it starchy, which takes out all the vitamins and minerals. And then they add it back in after they bleach it to make mm-hmm. white flour or rice. So they take all the nutrients out and then they'll put it back in, typically.
Artificially, they'll put all that stuff back in, or they take like a
they'll
process?
They'll add it back in, not artificially, but add it back in. So they fortify it, that's what it's called.
Okay.
So it's better to get the whole grain, so go for the brown rice, then you get the fiber. And there's more fiber, yeah. So it's a better choice than white rice. Even better would be quinoa. Quinoa
yeah.
is a complete protein, whereas brown rice isn't a complete protein. So if you're, let's say, vegan, then quinoa would be a good source to get adequate protein.
Okay. It's a grain just like rice.
Yeah, it's from the Andes.
Yeah.
It's a whole grain, and they make pasta out of it. So you can find pasta that's made from quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I try the pasta that's made from brown rice. That's even better.
Okay.
Seen
that.
So those are better options. So if you want to still have pasta in your diet, just find those varieties. But cutting down on the white carbs is probably best. But we do need carbohydrates in our diet. It's a primary fuel
mm-hmm.
for our
mm-hmm.
brains and muscles.
Okay.
So we can't cut them out.
All right.
And mainly get them from fruits, vegetables, and whole grains.
Not so much proteins.
Well, proteins also gives you carbohydrates like quinoa, for
example.
It
breaks down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's kind of what the Atkins whole thing was, right? Not eating carbohydrates, instead eating proteins
yeah.
and fats. And then that would eventually, what, strip off your fat layers, hopefully? It would go through whatever protein and fat you ate first. And
well,
then you would start burning your own fats off. Say.
Well, the extreme of the Atkins diet is it puts you in ketosis.
Right.
So you have a lot of ketones, and you get stinky breath, stinky urine, all that. So you're giving off ketones, you burn
mm-hmm.
fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
healthy, I'm sure you know. And
right.
Being in that state. So the Atkins diet, I think mainly it's a lot of like steak, eggs, cheese,
uh-huh.
those kinds of things.
Everything
delicious.
A lot of
high saturated fat.
Yep.
Yeah. Cut out all the potatoes, breads, pastas. That wouldn't be good for somebody that already had high blood lipid levels or
right.
history of heart disease or anything like that. So that would, or high blood pressure for that matter. So those diets, high protein diets, aren't really good. Also takes a toll on the kidneys trying to get rid of.
Right, good point.
Mm-hmm.
With the ketones plus just the amount of protein and molecules
down.
Inside your blood,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But I mean, it kind of seems like it would help for a while, just because if you're burning off your fats, then you're losing weight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that might be better for your, as long as you do that for a period of time, and then you have to start going back onto more. Are fibers better than, you know, when they talk about having a high fiber diet, obviously, macrally, it goes through your system, cleans you out, your GI tract, but microscopically, it's also what, like sloughing off cholesterol and stuff in
right.
your bloodstream?
Right, the fiber binds to the bad cholesterol and you excrete it out. But yeah,
okay.
I would never recommend anybody to go on an Atkins diet.
Not anymore.
No, never.
Nobody. Okay.
I would just say let's start by eating overall, eating healthy, pick things out that aren't that great for you.
Okay.
But not following one extreme over the other. And yeah, lose weight first and then start incorporating other things because you'll just set yourself up to gain weight.
Totally. So. Yeah, that's the issue with diets, like we were just talking about. It seems, what do you call it?
It's a four-letter word. Not a good thing to be
on. It's a four-letter word.
Healthy eating.
And that's like the thing when you look at diets, like, okay, so let's keep going over. So Atkins, extra. Paleo is similar, right?
Similar. Paleo diet is all about like the caveman diet.
Right.
Where it's just meats, nuts. It excludes, it has some fruits and vegetables. Excludes legumes, dairy, eggs.
Legumes, so like lentils?
Any kind of beans. Lentils.
Lentils.
Any
kind peanuts? Of
beans. No, you can have nuts.
Okay. I thought,
but no legumes. It's very extreme. It's limited. People do lose weight on it. Because there's no grains in the diet, no beans.
Yeah.
So I think when you're limiting and restricting, you're going to miss out again on variety. You may be missing some nutrients like vitamin D, calcium,
okay.
Those kinds of things that you get in dairy products.
You get in dairy and you get in, okay.
Yeah, so you're going to be calcium. Restricting again. And then fiber, there's not going to be that much fiber if you're always eating a lot of meat. But you might get in. But you have to make sure you get more fruits and vegetables. I don't know if they exclude certain fruits in that particular diet.
Okay.
But it is restricted to paleo.
It's mostly what not simple sugars then, it sounds
correct.
Like. So mm-hmm. It's like veggies and
like living off the land
goes?
Type of thing.
Right. So any unprocessed wheat, I guess, is okay.
No processed wheat.
So quinoa would be all right.
You know, I don't even think they have quinoa in that
what?
Diet. I think they have any
bitches,
just
paleos.
From vegetables.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, that makes
from
sense
fruits.
Then. So a lot of celery.
I don't know if they have celery. They might
they
have
got
celery.
A celery. That's all fiber and water. That's all
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I know.
You lose weight eating celery.
Well, there's nothing to it. It's mostly water.
You know that? No. Celery's got like 10 calorie whatever and per serving, and it takes 12 calories to chew it and digest it. You actually
and
lose
the
weight.
Cellulose in there.
And all the cellulose, yeah. What else? Slow carb is what I was telling you about, which is basically just, and you know about it because the gentleman that wrote
4-Hour Body,
it was a type of slow
Tim
carb.
Ferriss.
Tim Ferriss. And basically he says, don't eat any white processed
meat.
Right. And that's.
That sounds pretty good. I mean, because again, I would stay away from anything that's processed, and a lot of white flours is in baked goods and processed foods. So that's, I always say stick to single ingredient foods. So it just has one, like, but then I don't know if it's restricting potatoes. I think potatoes are fine in your diet. Just
no, he sticks with.
What do you mean single ingredient foods?
Like, you look at the ingredients, it just says peanuts in your peanut butter.
Okay.
Okay, like Jiffy versus Sutter, you know, Laura Sutter, the natural.
I love it.
Butter.
It's my favorite peanut butter in the world.
Well, if you look at Jiffy ingredients
so
compared to
right.
the Sutter,
yeah.
there's only one ingredient, peanuts,
yeah.
maybe
yeah.
salt, whatever. But
all
if
right.
you look at Jiffy, it's got a long list of ingredients.
Let me
the
ask
first
you this.
The ingredient is the most predominant.
Right, that's right. Okay.
And there's a lot of sugar in it.
Okay, they add in actual sugar
yeah.
later on. Preservatives. You got a Skippy jar over here. Let's see. Can you throw me that? Can I just ask you this, please?
Yes.
You get the Laura Scudder? You get the Laura Sutter?
Or I go to, well, TJ's just there's cold, but.
Okay. The natural peanut butter's got the oil on top?
Yeah, and then you turn it upside down.
Yeah.
The oil will float up, so when you open it, it won't be right there.
But I can stir it in.
Right, you do that.
That's all I wanted to know.
It's natural.
I don't have to pour it out?
The peanuts.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Everyone you says just, you got to pour it out because
no.
that's all the fat.
No, no, it's a good monounsaturated.
Here we go, and I don't want to bag on Skippy on the podcast. Ingredients, roasted peanuts, sugar, that's the second ingredient. Hydrogenated vegetable oils.
That's not good.
Nothing hydrogenated.
No.
You don't want to ginate into water. Cottonseed, soybean, rapeseed, yikes. And prevent separation, salt. Rapeseed is canola seed.
Yeah, so
It's rapeseed. It's comes from Canada.
And that's what's to prevent it to separate, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by single ingredient, getting away from a long list of ingredients in your foods. Simple.
Okay. So yeah, as close as you can get to a simple, single ingredient.
Like apple, banana.
Like actual apple.
Broccoli, single ingredient foods.
Gotcha. This is a good one because Todd at the end of the table is running away. Did it for a while. He's juicing. Tell me about juicing.
Well, juicing, for one, did you feel satisfied when you're juicing?
Just nobody drinking, I've seen has seemed
their energy
satisfied.
Level must be down.
They seem sapped. They seem angry.
Irritable.
And thin. But that goes away quickly.
Yeah.
Did you ever do it?
A little bit.
How'd you feel?
First of all, I was drained. That I was fine. I think I have to do it.
Okay. Were you working out when you were doing the juicing? No. So that is probably a concern.
I feel like it's more of like a Kickstarter for...
Or a cleanse.
Yeah, thing. Exactly. I don't know if you could hang out
on it. You could maintain on it.
No, no way. Uh-uh. What I've seen is, and I'm not going to name name, but somebody that started on the juicing diet lost weight, but eventually could not obviously continue that juicing and started eating and then gained the weight back very quickly and more so. And so there, that's an example why that's not a good option to go for weight loss.
From crash diets to CrossFit, anorexia, the body mass indexia, from bulimia to creatinia, modern day's bohemia is obsessed with the ideal human physique. We subject ourselves to voluntary self-starvation and physical torture that would be considered malicious and inhumane according to the guidelines set forth in the Geneva Convention of 49. It's nothing new, I believe. You can't blame Cosmo or Muscle Fitness or Maxim. It's been our subconscious struggle to be stronger, bigger, thinner, and faster. And to look better in a birthday suit since we first made our appearance on this great earth to the welcoming party. Just like Twiggy and Kate Moss made girls suck in their guts when looking in the mirror in the 70s and 80s, I'm sure Botticelli's Birth of Venus must have made most gangly Florian females push out their paunches to be as voluptuous and voluminous at the paintings of that era. It's likely that a poster of Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man hung in most Renaissance gyms, or was staked up on the plaster walls of teenagers' bedrooms, with some kid lifting lead cannonballs, saying to himself, "Someday, Mario, you gotta keep lifting, you cut out the pizza and the vino, you're gonna look like it is too. Just keep blasting your pics." And think about this. Have you ever seen any hieroglyphics of fat pharaohs? Negative. They're all thin, they're all working out their arms. Let me give you some fad diets that you might be interested in. 1087, William the Conqueror. Yeah, the Willie T.C. You know who I'm talking about. You know, did the whole thing up in Ireland and England. Okay. He proposed a diet that a lot of you might be practicing now part-time, although you don't even realize. He proposed an alcohol-only diet. Now, it seems like it's ridiculous. However, it may have more credence than at first you give it credit. A lot of the homeless guys I pick up are usually leaning towards the lean. But we'll never know if it would have worked because he died later that year by falling off of his horse. Very drunk and still very fat. In the latter half of the 1800s, the Industrial Revolution saw a division of labor, and now suddenly not everyone was getting the same exercise as everyone else. So you weren't cutting down the tree, stripping it, milling it, building a house, and then living inside it and farming the land. You're working in a factory now, and you're spending 12 hours to 24 hours to 3 or 4 days in that factory. And it's interesting to note that at about this time, there was more of a public importance placed on diet rather than exercise. Victorian doctors knew that speeding up one's own metabolism would increase weight loss, and so they prescribed to their patients medications that they had seen caused weight loss. Medications like strychnine and arsenic. Today, we have much better medications to combat obesity, like hydroxycut and speed. Or we cut right to the issue and we perform liposuction or lap banding. At the turn of the century, Horace Fletcher, a self-appointed scientist, proposed an idea known as fletchering. Don't get the letters mixed up. Fletchering consisted of taking a bite of food, chewing it up, masticating it until you had extracted the nutritional value of it, and then spitting it out. You never actually swallowed anything. I'll call it me, but I think that's a little bit unsatisfying. You definitely lost weight, and as an added bonus, Fletcher proclaimed that you only had one bowel movement once every 2 weeks. And that one smelled like, quote, warm biscuits. If you didn't believe him, you could always check it, because he carried around a small stool sample in a mason jar. There was the cigarette diet of the 1930s, brought to you by Lucky Strikes. They proclaimed, reach for a Lucky instead of a sweet. You will definitely lose weight. It's a treat. There was the graham cracker diet of the late Victorian era that guaranteed eating a regular diet of graham crackers would not only help you lose weight, but would curb obsessive masturbation. I just read this, and I recently broke up with my girlfriend, and I went to the grocery store and I bought 36 boxes of graham crackers. I also bought a bottle of Cetaphil lotion to help me with some chafing I was concerned with. However, it appears either the graham cracker diet doesn't work or the graham crackers and lotion purchase have offset each other. But my favorite dieting craze has to be the tapeworm diet. Around the turn of the century, magazines were selling sanitized beef tapeworms that you could ingest in pill form, allow the worm to batten on to your intestines, and eat whatever food you were eating excessively. I just keep picturing this worm inside my gut, like looking up at me and going, you gonna eat that? Mark Twain said, only kings, editors, and people with tapeworms have the right to use the editorial we. But guess what? I'm editing this podcast, so I get to use it. We are being psychotic about weight and about our self-image. I am. It's really not important. What the fuck is important? The importance is this. Are we really living a good life and helping people? If you're not, then start doing it. Are you listening to your wife or your husband, making them feel like they're important? Do you really feel that they're important? And if you do, please give them some time to speak to you. And if not, move the fuck on. The truth is this, as far as nutrition goes, eat more leafy greens, more Swiss chard, more collard greens without the ham bone inside it. Come on, dudes. You know, don't put the ham hock in there. You know it's not, and the butter. Because Kennard made that for us, and it was fucking delicious. But it's not healthy anymore if you're going to keep putting in fat and butter and ham hocks. It was delicious, though. I can't deny that. It was so good. But that's not what a leafy green is. Have some Swiss chard. Okay? Like real collard greens. Okay? Eat it. Don't eat so much sweets. Stay away from... all right, listen. I had this patient that I picked up over when I worked in Tiburon. He was 96. He was on a bike. And he had fallen into the wall, the stuccoed wall, on his bicycle. And he had abraded his face. He had a big facial abrasion. And... he was riding a bike. He was 96. And I asked him, I said, "What is your secret to life?" And he got really indignant with me. He said, "Don't eat so much meat all the time. I sit down with my wife. I eat some food, but it's usually salad. And sometimes I have fish. Stay away from meat. And don't eat so goddamn much." And he was looking at me like I was this big guy that just was like a meat eater. I said, "Okay, sir, okay. I'm sorry. That's it. I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm fine. Get out of here." And I'll never forget that. The guy said, "Don't eat so much and don't eat so much meat." And then he said, eat some soup. Soup is a meal. I love that guy. That guy gave me some information that I'll never forget. So thank you, whoever the fuck you are. I love you, old man, and I hope you made it to 106. And I hope you all make it to 106. I really want to see you all around. This is Ken Allen saying, if you learn it this way, you'll never forget it. If you got it, use it. Thanks for tuning in.